Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, May the 27th, 2026. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. Another rain-filled morning. Now, the temperatures aren't bad out there. It's humid, mid-60s, I think, right now. So it's not cool like it has been. But I'll tell you, I think somewhere along the line, Mother Nature got the months mixed up this year. And it was May showers bring maybe June flowers, we'll hope. Instead of April showers bring May flowers. Maybe it's May showers bring May flowers. Although, I will say this. Somebody told me. Now, one of these things I can speak to firsthand. But somebody told me the other day that the watermelons have been particularly good this year. And I tried some strawberries last week, 2 weeks ago. And they were the best strawberries that I have ever tasted. So I don't know if all this rain is impacting the strawberries and watermelons, but the fruits in general, fruits and vegetables. But they are very, very good this year. If you haven't tried the strawberries, try them. I can speak firsthand to that. The watermelons, I can't speak firsthand to. Now, a couple little things I want to mention here this morning. Number one, we have an interesting system. We've been in the building we're in now for about 3 years, I guess we've been here, and we enjoy it here. It's one of the best studios we've ever had, but in this building, there is a point every year where the building switches over from heat to air conditioning. Now, this actually usually happens in late April or early May, because that's when the temperatures change to a significant degree. Now, this year, they did not. Well, we had a couple days in the 80s, but nothing very severe heat-wise. And I think finally, as of this morning, we have switched over to air conditioning. So mark it down. May the 27th, we have switched over to air conditioning. So this morning I opened up the vent because the heat can get a little intense in here, as you might remember from earlier this year. So we shut the vent off when the heat's coming through, but the air conditioning is much better, so now the vent is open, and I think the air is coming through. Or at least let's hope it's air conditioning. It feels like cool air, so we'll go along with that. Oh, has anybody turned on their air conditioning at home? Or has anybody tried the strawberries or watermelons? They're very, very good. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Oh, I do have a McDonald's story for you this morning. I haven't had one of these stories in quite a while. So last night, before the city council meeting, I went through McDonald's. It was kind of a warm night. And I got a large Diet Coke, and I used the app, so you get it for like $1.07. So I'm going through the line, and I paid in cash, which I normally don't do. I actually paid in change. I have a little change bucket in the car. So I paid with $1.10. And because of the no penny situation, I got back a nickel. The soda was $1.07. I paid with $1.10. And they gave me back a nickel. So they essentially rounded me up. Okay, that sounded great. So this morning, I was going through McDonald's again, and I got the app out, and I used it again. So the drink was $1.07. And I thought, okay, I'm going to pay with $1.10 again. I had some change left in the change bucket there. So I paid with $1.10, and the lady looks at me and says, thank you. And I thought, now, wait a second. Now, last night, less than 24 hours ago, when I did this, I got a nickel back. And now I am not getting a nickel back. And I didn't know. She was new, And I think she's probably a high school kid, maybe a college kid, working there now that summer has sprung and she's out of school. So I didn't want to do anything this morning, but I'm not sure if I got taken for a nickel this morning or not, because this whole rounding up of money is very, very strange. So I did not get a nickel this morning, and calm, passive person that I am, I did not make a stink about it. But, you know, I'm not sure if she owed me a nickel or not, to be honest with you. And I was not going to fight it out for a nickel. I know a lot of people would, but, you know, do you round up or do you round down in a situation like that? If it's $1.07 and you pay $1.10, I'm not sure how it works. And if anybody knows the answer to that, you can call in. But that's my little McDonald's story for this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, I know you're dying to hear the city council wrap up. So I'll tell you, we'll do this. Here's what we learned last night. It was actually a very quick meeting. Only lasted about an hour. Well, they had the extra meeting that started at 6, so an hour and a half, we'll say. But here's the situation. Okay, so the building that was purchased for the fire station, the Rite Aid building on Main Street, last night it was decided, what we found out was, is that Goodwill apparently approached the city, because they knew that the city owned this building, and they knew the city was having financial trouble. So they approached the city about using this building for 6 months, until their new building is completed. So the deal is this, it's a six-month lease, and Goodwill will pay the utilities in the building, and $4,000 a month for rent is what it will be. $4,000 a month for 6 months. Now, Goodwill, the city, I should say, not Goodwill, the city does have the option to renew the lease another 6 months. So, they do not have to come back to council if they want to renew for another 6 months. So, this could be up to a year with Goodwill in that building. So that's essentially the whole story behind that. But what I thought was very interesting last night, and by the way, this was passed unanimously. Nobody voted against this at all. It's a done deal now. But what I thought was odd was Mayor Collins said in the meeting, he said, basically, due to the lack of, basically, due to the city's financial issues and lack of a bond rating. Now, this is Mayor Collins' quote. The city won't be doing anything with that building in the very near future. And last night, a couple people did try to ask when a fire station might be in there, and nobody got a real straight answer on that. I think they said maybe the sooner the better, or the sooner the better off everybody would be. But it doesn't sound like it's coming anytime soon. Certainly not within the next year. But that's the deal. So Goodwill got the nod last night. 9-0. 9-0. Nobody voted against it. And so they will get a lease on that building for 6 months at $4,000 per month. Now, remember last week when I was telling you about the curbside recycling getting quite a response on social media, where other city council stories normally do not? Well, I was looking this morning, and this fire station story is getting quite a response as well. It's already up to 53 comments, and it hasn't even been up there 24 hours as of yet. And I'll read you some of the comments. It says, can we state what's going on? I wonder what the city firemen will have to say about this, if they're happy about it, and the fire chief. Let's see here. So the assistant, 1/10 the size and only 1/4 the cost. That's crazy. The city should be charging 2 to 3 times this. Average commercial rent in Marion, approximately $10.70 per square foot a year. Was this rental opportunity published, or was it a behind-closed-door deal? A market-based rent would typically range from $12,000 to $18,000 plus. Okay. The mayor made a statement that they used the tax levy money to buy this building to make a fire station. He also said they didn't have the money to convert it. And now this. And we still don't have a new fire station. I don't think it's legal, but I will be finding out. I am wondering if the levy money was already spent and the missing $5+ million was used to buy this building. There seemed to be a lot of shady looking stuff going on with our city politicians. I thought they were building a Goodwill store out by the mall. Do they need all these buildings? How many Goodwills do we need in this town? So basically it's going to be a waste of space, right? What Marion needs is a children's close to home. So those are some of the comments. Okay, so people are unhappy with this, and that's just a portion of the 53 comments that are already there in regard to this. So even though it passed unanimously, and even though the city now will get $4,000 a month from Goodwill, it's still a little bit of a confusing deal, to be honest with you. Because, again, I said this yesterday, I'm not saying it's illegal. I don't know that it's illegal. Mark Russell, the law director, I'll take his word for it that it's legal. But I guess the Goodwill approached the city because they knew the city had purchased this building and might not have the money to be doing anything with it right now. Now, is that how Goodwill works? They know all the comings and goings in the city government. They know what buildings are sitting empty and why they're sitting empty. I don't know. It just seemed a little strange that was the reasoning. Now, maybe that's how it happened. I'm not going to impugn anybody, but it was a little I don't know. Does that sound logical to anybody? Does that sound normal? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now the explanation here is that basically Goodwill noticed the building was empty and they knew that the city had bought it. And they knew the city was not in a good financial place and probably would not be doing anything with this building. So they approached the city about leasing the building. Now, essentially, that's the story that we got last night. And I'm not even saying it's a false story. It may be absolutely true. But that's kind of an interesting way to fall into this, honestly. And you know, I wonder who set the price here, because I don't know what the commercial rates are. Apparently, one of the people on social media felt they knew what the commercial rates were. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But here we are. And again, the phone lines are open, so if you have any comment on this, that's more or less the big story from last night's city council meeting. And as far as the fire station, if you're interested in that, well, it doesn't look like that's going to be coming anytime soon, anytime in the near future, which is where we are. And I don't know how long it's going to take to get back this bond rating so the city can borrow money to convert this building. I don't know how much tax money they need to collect to do what they need to do. But I would assume this is not a popular choice. And when people vote on something, I think they want to see it happen. And I think when they see a Goodwill, even if it's just for 6 months or it ends up being for a year or whatever it is, sitting where a fire station was supposed to be, it's probably not going to be a popular choice. But in any event, that's the story from last night's Goodwill. 740-383-9944. If you've got anything to say in regard to that. Now, another thing I did notice yesterday, and we talked about this on the program, over the weekend, a fight in regard to the Popcorn Festival developed. And this is a very trivial thing on the whole when you think about it. But essentially what has happened, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday on the program, but essentially what has happened here is that for 45 years, the Popcorn Festival has always had a country act. And it usually is the most popular night at the Popcorn Festival. It usually is the night that brings in the most people, I would say. Now, this year, for whatever reason, they decided not to have a country act. And this upset a lot of people, because country is very popular here in Marion. And I think this is twofold, because not only did they decide not to go with a country act, but they also brought in somebody, or bringing in somebody, who was on The Voice, the television show, who said some derogatory things about country music. So that really got the people who are involved in country music in a little bit of an uproar here. So this has upset people. So people were upset. And also, I think people didn't like the talent because they didn't feel they knew who they were, and so on and so forth. Which is their right. Anybody can complain about anything. That's the way it goes. So in any event, the Popcorn Festival, I guess, board did not like this. They didn't like that people were saying negative things about their entertainment. So the Popcorn Festival president comes out on Memorial Day and feels the need to release a video. Now, I looked at this video. Now, I can't tell. Now, somebody may have a different opinion on this, but here's essentially what the video said. The video is, it's trying to explain how we got the talent that we got this year, but it's almost coming off as if we could have got better talent, we would have. Now, they don't say that outright in the video, but they're explaining all the things that go into getting talent, and essentially this is why we got the talent that we got. And a matter of fact, I think in the video they actually talk about another group that they were in talks with that they ended up not getting because of scheduling issues or something of that nature. So I have to admit I was not listening to this video all that closely. But here's the problem with this video. Number one, I don't think responding to the fact that people are not thrilled with your entertainment choices is a good thing, because that's never going to come off well. Because if you say it's a free concert and this is what we've got, then it kind of sounds like if we could have done better, we would have. Well, that kind of trashes the talent that you've chosen, because you're saying, well, we kind of realize this isn't the best, but, you know, it's what we could get. I don't know if that's the best message. And frankly, I don't understand why the Popcorn Festival was so upset anyway. There's a lot of reasons people go to the Popcorn Festival. People go because it's free. There's no admission. People go because the entertainment is free. People go for the food, certainly. People go for the local entertainment. There's a lot of reasons that people are going to go. They go for the games. There's a lot of reasons people are going to go to that festival other than the entertainment. So I don't know why the festival is taking this so personally. Of course people are going to like your choices, and some people are not going to like your choices. Big deal. When did everybody become so touchy? This is what I've said almost, I don't know what's going on, But the people in charge in Marion right now, God bless their heart. The people in charge of the popcorn festival, the people in charge of the city, the people in charge of a lot of these groups in town, and by the way, groups that do very good work, they do not like anybody giving a critique of anything they do. I don't think they want any criticism at all. And, you know, that's just not logical. First of all, we live in a social media age where anybody can criticize anybody for anything. And if you're not living in that era, then you're not going to, I don't know where you are. I don't know how to explain that to you. Now, do I think it's right to be criticizing people all the time? Of course not. But when it's something like entertainment, that's what the majority of people do in the world. I like that group. I don't like that group. I like this person, I don't like that person. I like this movie, I don't like that movie. This is not something that's new, and I find it kind of odd in a way that the Popcorn Festival took this so personally. I don't know why everybody internalizes everything so personally. They're just saying maybe they have different taste in music than you have. I don't understand it. People are going to show up anyway. I don't know how you could have a failure with something that's 45 years old and the entertainment's free. You don't have to pay for it. And by the way, I would also like to point out that there was a year, not too many years ago, where whoever the president of the board was brought in a certain group of entertainment. And because that entertainment was so unpopular, the day after the festival, that president was either forced to resign or resigned because of how badly things went. So it's not like this hasn't happened before. It's not like this is the first time. So I don't know why people want to get into fights. I don't know if people need some kind of reassurance. That maybe they did not do the wrong thing. I don't know. People need to get a grip. I just don't understand why you would engage people who are telling you they don't like the entertainment. To me, this seems like a very small thing. Give it till September. People will show up. Okay, there's that. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Coming up on 37 minutes past the hour here. If you've got anything you'd be interested to say or bring to the conversation, we certainly would love to hear from you this morning. We've got the Popcorn Festival kerfluffle, and we've got the would-be fire station located on Main Street at the Rite Aid spot, now going to be leased out to the Marion Goodwill, or the Goodwill in general, for a period of 6 months plus. At $4,000 a month. So if anybody's got anything to say in regard to either one of these issues, feel free to buzz in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open, and we enjoy hearing from the listening audience. We enjoy hearing from people out there who are listening. Now remember, you don't have to give your name. You can just call in and share your opinion. But either one of these stories is fair game this morning. I think they're fascinating. They're certainly fascinating little tales of things that are going on here in town. Or if you'd like to call in and talk about how good the strawberries and watermelons are this year, now that's a nice story. You can call in and do that. Or are you having issues when it comes to going to drive-thrus or whatever it may be with the penny shortage and the roundups and the things that we are doing now? If you have anything to say in regard to all that, now some of that is pretty easy to talk about. The strawberries and the watermelons, I think people could talk about that pretty easy. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If anybody's got anything to say, please feel free to weigh in. We would love to hear from you as we come up on 39 minutes past the hour on this rainy Wednesday morning. Can you believe it's already Wednesday? My gosh. When you get a day off, like Monday, because of Memorial Day, the weeks just seem to blow on by. And I guess there's nothing wrong with that. We'll all get to Friday a little quicker here. Okay, again, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Well, maybe nobody's got anything to say in regard to the fire station. Maybe there's no real anger there or happiness in general in regard to what's going on with the building on Main Street. And as far as the Popcorn Festival goes, you know, I think I've said it now for 2 days. It's entertainment. It's just an entertainment thing. Why get into fights? Not to mention the fact we still have 3 months before it happens. I'm sure it will all paper out by the time we get there in September. Because we've got till the week after, what, Labor Day? So we've got a little bit of time before this is going to happen. Well, the kids are out of school now. I think this slows down the traffic in the morning. I'm a fan of that, of the traffic being slowed down in the morning. That's always a help. Let's see here. There was something else that I was going to talk about this morning. Oh, well, maybe I'll get this in here. Okay, yes, this was sad to hear yesterday. Clarence B. Jones died at the age of 95. Now, that name probably doesn't ring a huge bell with anybody. But Clarence B. Jones was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s attorney. He was his collaborator. He helped him write the I Have a Dream speech back in the 1960s. And I had Clarence B. Jones on this show many times. And I was sad to hear of his passing. He was a good guy. It was always like interviewing history. Now, I wanted to pay a little bit of tribute to him here this morning. I want to go back to an interview I did with Mr. Jones on April 9th, 2018. So this is, 8 years ago at this point. This was right around the 50th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's assassination. This is me with Clarence B. Jones on this show, April 9th, 2018.
April 4th, commemorated 50 years of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was assassinated on April 4th, 1968, at the age of 39 years old. To remember him 50 years later, we are so glad to welcome to these microphones Clarence Jones. Dr. Jones, how are you?
Hi, how are you, sir? Just a minor correction. I'm no longer practicing law. I'm a professor.
Professor now.
Listen, I mean, I'm trained as a lawyer. I just don't know anymore.
Right. Tell me what you did on April 4th this year.
April 4th this year, I was in Memphis, Tennessee at the Rain Motel with several other hundreds of people who had come there to participate in the remembrance of the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Martin King at that. And there were lots of people from all over the country. There was Taylor Branch, of course, the Pulitzer Prize author of the classic three-volume work on the Civil Rights Movement. And there was Michelle Norris, a legendary interviewer from Yes and so forth, and you know, and civil, and people like you know, Jesse Jackson was there, John Lewis was there, several persons were there to participate in the program. The program was organized by the National Civil Rights Museum. I can't speak about anyone else. I'll just speak of my own reason for coming. I had to conflict. I was somewhat conflicted about it. One, because I didn't know whether I wanted to go back there again. I was there for the 40th, and I just didn't know whether I wanted to go back and revisit some of that pain. And then the other part of it, I felt I had a responsibility because of my profound personal respect for Martin Luther King Jr. and for and to participate with others as we sought to interpret his legacy today to the country. And so briefly, that's what I will try to do, is that much of what he sought to do during 50 years ago, or during the period up until he was assassinated 50 years ago, has endured in our country. There were several things which he was very much focused on at the time of his death, principally addressing the economic disparities among people in this country. He was focusing on the poor. What he would describe, using a biblical expression, he was focusing on what he described as the least of these. And so there in Memphis, as I say to you, people listening to me today, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of nation are we? The wealthiest nation in the world, where you travel around the major urban centers and there are people sleeping on the sidewalks, the cities, you know. I mean, they're just, that doesn't compute. There are people still are caught between the cracks in our healthcare system. And of course, the 24/7 persistence of violence, gun violence. Dr. King, as everyone knows, is the 20th century's preeminent apostle of nonviolence and love. And the shootings which occurred in the high school in Parkland, high school in Florida, in Parkland, Florida, and other places, it's just the tip of the iceberg. Tip of the iceberg. There's as we're having this conversation, or as I'm participating in your broadcast, by the end of this day, there will have been some person in America, and it's sad. And of course, Dr. King was trying to bring to the surface even those years that now has become unavoidable. That has to be addressed, and that is the disparities in the criminal justice system. We have, millions of incarcerated or on parole or under some form of the criminal justice supervisory system. And the most disgraceful thing, of course, is that you have young, principally African-American men, not exclusively, but principally African-American men, particularly young people, when I say young, let me be quite years old, all right, become part of the women's system, you know. They grew up in some that they were did in, and maybe they were not the principal, but under the felony murder rule or conspiracy, somebody else was the principal participant in the crime, and their conviction is questionable. But the prosecutors scare them to death and say, well, if you take this deal, if you go to trial and you get convicted, you know, you're going to get 60 years to life. But if you agree to plea to this, you can get 20 years to life, or 20 to 25 years to life for a crime they did not commit. That's what I'm trying to make. For a crime they did not commit. And so I don't know of any other way of putting it, except that this, our country is awash in violence. I don't know of any other way of putting it. And this would break Dr. King's heart. Just break his heart.
You know, 19...
And when I say break his heart, bring him the tears, but it also would provoke him to constructive, organized action.
Clarence B. Jones on this show, April 9th, 2018. Now, I want to play one more clip, and Mr. Jones died yesterday at the age of 95. He was on this program January 21st, 2019. Now, again, this was Dr. Martin Luther King's advisor, collaborator, attorney, helped write the I Have a Dream speech. This is Mr. Jones on this show, January 21st, 2019. Take a listen to what went on that date.
Through the course of our history, in the 20th century is a very, and into the 21st century is a very interesting time. There are a lot of people who we will think about next month during Black History Month. There are Thurgood Marshall, Rosa Parks, Malcolm X, certainly President Obama now. But the one thing, the thread about Dr. King is that he is, his shadow looms large over all of those people. He kind of is the Beatles in a way. I can go to any 10-year-old's iPod and they will have a Beatles song on there. You won't find Elvis Presley on a 10-year-old's iPod, but you'll find the Beatles. People might not know who Thurgood Marshall was. People might have forgotten them, but they know who Dr. King was. The morning after President Obama was elected, they play the I Have a Dream speech. Would he have suspected that?
Well, let's respond to the last thing you just said. President Obama understood without any qualification that the reason he became president was because of the work of Martin Luther King Jr. and his several persons who worked with him, who survived. John Lewis, C.T. Vivian, Bob Moses, the leaders of the Jewish community, active, so forth. He knew. He knew that he would not have been president but for the work of Black civil rights leaders, almost all of them more closely associated with Dr. King. Now, that does not mean to diminish or to exclude the extraordinary work of Thurgood Marshall following Charles Haldeman from Houston. I mean, Thurgood Marshall and shepherding the leadership of getting the Supreme Court to overrule ending racial segregation in education. And on May 17, 1954, extraordinary. There were great leaders in the history of African Americans before Dr. King. You know, there was Dr. Du Bois. There was people like Ella Baker. There was people like Ida Wells Barnett. Paul Robeson. You had the founder of the African American Episcopal Church, Richard Allen. James Toomer. You had Elaine Locke. You had people. You know, even Marcus Garvey. You had leaders before Dr. King who sought to raise the consciousness of our own people and then the consciousness of the nation in order to end racial segregation. Dr. King, because of the eloquence of his oratory and because he was such a strategically astute political leader, he knew, as I've said over and over, there's no way in hell that 10 to 12% of the population was going
trying to impose its will and racial segregation on 88% of the white population. It wasn't going to happen. This simply was not going to happen. The only way it was going to happen is if a majority of white people came to understand that it was in their self-interest that this and the racial segregation ended. And the way he did that is to be sure that they knew that he was talking about substance and decency and not about violence. Okay? He also knew that if we didn't adhere to nonviolence, that our association with violence to achieve our objective would completely diminish and wipe out our work, because he knew that the first thing the opposition would do was to use our violence as a way of obscuring the content of the message. So if we wanted to be taken seriously, we had to be nonviolent, because the use of violence would simply block out and obliterate the message we're trying to send. Unfortunately, I'm under a time problem, my friend, so I'm not going to be able to spend too much time with you on the air.
Well, I certainly appreciate you spending the time today. I think it's very important and an interesting day, and I want to part with this final question.
Yeah. Tell you that, by the way, you and your listeners have a very soft spot in my heart. I don't know what it is. So you, Scott, have always treated me with great dignity and respect. And I've listened to your show online, and I want to send a very special thank you to your listeners, those who agree with me and those who disagree with me. I just want to say I respect all of the listenership, and I respect you very much, Scott, as you know.
Well, that is... I appreciate that more than you can imagine. In the essence of a time crunch here, the question is, without going into too much detail because of the time crunch, the situation the country is in now, do you think that it is fixable, that we can turn it around? Are things...
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And it's very simple. Voting. If you're eligible to vote, no sense carrying around a lot of placards and banners and jumping up and down and shouting. That doesn't mean a damn thing unless you vote. That's how you can change.
Clarence B. Jones, attorney, friend.
Former attorney. I'm not practicing law. I stopped practicing law many years ago, but I was, now I'm a political advisor and a speechwriter. I don't write speeches for anyone, but I'm a professor. And I recently, in the past several months, formed the Gandhi King Institute for Nonviolence and Social Justice, and which has become part of the University of San Francisco. So, you go online at the University of San Francisco and want to follow me and check on me, you can do that.
Clarence B. Jones, a great friend of this program for many, many years. Again, that was him on this program, January 21st, 2019. Hard to believe that was 7 years ago now. He came on several times, helped Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. write the famous I Have a Dream speech, and was also a friend, confidant, collaborator, and attorney for Dr. King. Certainly one of the best, gone yesterday at the age of 95. He was always prolific when he would come on, and always incredibly nice to me. As you heard there, he said he would listen online. He was out in California, and he would listen to the program. Now, that is something. The man who wrote the I Have a Dream speech to listen to this program, and I believe Clarence B. Jones is going to be remembered for quite a while. You know, that whole generation is leaving us, Mr. Jones, at age 95. That whole generation is leaving us, and they were a very fascinating generation. They lived through some very trying times, and these connections to these icons like Dr. King, are getting very few and far between. And that is very, very unfortunate to hear. And I was very sad yesterday to learn of Mr. Jones passing for that particular reason. But we are so glad we had him on this program and so glad that he was always willing to come on. And isn't it interesting what he said in 2019? Now, that's 6-7 years ago now, that vote. That's how you change things. If you don't like what's going on, you vote. I think that would still hold up quite a bit today. Now, we've got a whole nother hour coming up. Now, hopefully everybody is coming out of their morning haze and will join us on the toll-free line, 740-383-9944. Don't forget to call next hour, because we've got a whole nother hour of this program that we hope you join us for. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
Like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with